Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. streaming live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we put the podcasts. That's right. As well as on SoundCloud and iTunes. I'm getting way overexcited here. I better calm down. We got a fun program today, and I want you to stay tuned. We'll give you the website to our guest in just a moment. She's sort of kind of in a way coming from my hometown, but not exactly. I was born and raised in Phoenix, and she's living in a town that is north of that area that didn't even exist when I was growing up. It was desert. It was lovely, if you can call desert lovely. I suppose some folks do. And we are so grateful and thankful that we have as our special guest all the way from the outskirts of Phoenix in Anthem, Arizona, Eva Carabello. I thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
The reason why we have you on the program, we're going to get into in just a moment. Just want to let our listeners know we're going to give out your website here shortly. And we're going to go through the various modalities that you work in. and I think that seems to be what is happening within the, I'm going to use the term lightworking community, is that nobody is honing in necessarily. There are some that do, but not everyone hones in on one specific modality and just that one. It's almost as though they just know I need to expand and I need to maybe grab. I need to put as many tools in my toolbox as I possibly can because I don't know who's coming to me. I don't know what they're going to need until they get here, and I want to be well-equipped. Whereas if you only have one modality, I'm sorry, this is all you get, a one-size-fits-all kind of thing to a certain degree. Am I correct, a Reiki master?
Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, NLP practitioner, minister, doctor of ontology, but most of all, an intuitive since I was born.
The one aspect my wife is an empath. Is that something, is that part of the package that you have, that intuition?
Yes. Basically, what I was gifted with is everybody has intuition. Every single beautiful soul on this earth has intuition. And I was gifted with that ability so early, I've been able to use it in all my senses. So I can hear, feel, see all the different sensations you have. I can do it with the universe or get the energy from the universe. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful is that the internet existed outside our world in the energy field way before we created an internet on earth. And that internet is a communication network. It is a vibrational network. It's an electronic network. And that's basically what I can feel and sense. And that's how I get my information.
You have been an intuitive virtually all your life. And you even say it on your website, so I can say it.
Yes.
60 plus years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You preserve quite well, I must say. You don't look.
Thank you.
You don't. No, folks, seriously, you go to her website. It's amazing. I interviewed a gal the other day who told me that she had an 18-year-old son. And I'm going, what? You have the kid when you were six? it seems like folks are, aging much better. I don't know if it's because of the work that you do and that energy that flows through you as that conduit revitalizes and or rejuvenates you. Maybe that was what Ponce de Leon should have checked into, was that internal energy flow rather than looking for the external fountain of youth.
I truly believe that, because when you gain control over your own communication with yourself, and you're staying positive and you're feeding the positive all the time, it definitely reduces the stress that most people are going through. it reduces the fears and it reduces the anxiety because you're centered in love, in love and peace. And that definitely increases your longevity. You're not stressed, you're calm. You look at things most of the time, because we're all human, from a loving space. And it just makes everything more peaceful. And you can really tune into the person that you're with so clearly and be able to make the most out of the moments and time that you share. So it's really special.
What were your first recollections that from your childhood that you had this innate ability? Because that's what it is. You didn't learn this. It was just there.
It was there. And I had one occasion when I was 2.5 years old, and I remember being in a diaper and sitting in the middle of a kitchen, and a person was doing their thing that I didn't care for, and I looked up to the sky, and I said, God, did I really sign up for this? And those thoughts were in my mind so young that it's something that I signed up for. It's my choice to be here. It's my choice to live this life. And that is the gift that most people fail to realize, that this is a beautiful choice of theirs, and what happens in their world, they are in command. And that's what's beautiful with what I do, is when I meet somebody, I'm meeting them on a soul-to-soul level, and I can see where they are. I've been there too, and I found a way out. And that's been a beautiful gift of mine, to be able to share with anybody I meet. But the most profound thing is I thought everybody could do and see and feel and hear what I knew. So I was so confused. Why are people acting like that? Don't they feel and know what I know about this person? You wouldn't even go there if you knew where that person was. And when I got to kindergarten, I was all excited because it's, oh, great. You know, I'm going to meet a whole bunch of people like me and it's going to be great. But I was the stranger. I was the alien. I was so different than everyone. And I got to learn that difference was so beautiful because I could sense and feel and know what's really going on, that I can mediate a lot of the stress that other people were putting on other people, and knowing something is going to happen, be able to alleviate some stress there. It just became a beautiful gift, and I enjoyed it. I truly enjoyed it all my life. So that was the first time that it really dawned on me that not everybody has utilized the talent they have, because every beautiful soul on this earth is intuitive. And you, every single person who's listening to this, has many times where their intuition told them something, and either they listened or they didn't, but either way, they were gifted with the lesson. And what I'm able to do is bring those gifts that we truly have to the people that are searching for them. And when you said all the different modalities, yes, it's a toolbox. This beautiful big toolbox that you leave there, and you also put into that box your experiences, your stories. And whenever a story is going to be healing for someone, that story comes up, that modality comes up, those tools come up. So it's really cool. After 61 years, I've collected a lot of tools in my toolbox, and it's become so natural for me that I no longer have to think, oh, well, let me do Reiki, or let me do healing touch, or let me do this, or let me do that. It's just there. And that's so beautiful, to meet people on a soul-to-soul level and see them where they are at, and no judgment whatsoever. Just, I see where you are. I see where you're hurting. Let's go there. Let's fix it so you can move on. Mm. And that's the treasure.
Well, now, you came into this world with this wonderful gift, and you're saying that others have it but haven't learned how to use it. How do we learn how to use this this beautiful gift. And let me just say that I used to say this at the end of certain programs, joking with folks that, you know, that be forewarned, except it was at the end of the interview, that once you've heard this information, you can't unhear it. So now you have to deal with it.
Yes.
And one of the things that I used to say too about intuition, or that still small voice, because it's kind of along the same lines, I guess. I guess it depends upon your semantics, if you will. If you're going to listen to that still small voice, that intuition, and not follow it, why do you bother listening? It's there for a reason. It's there to help you. It's there to guide you. And again, I would say that tongue in cheek. I wasn't trying to be mean or anything.
I understand.
Yeah. But how do we learn for someone who says, I don't know of any experiences in my life where I've ever, it's always been logical, or I've always had a map, or I've always had instructions, or someone has always told me what to do.
I would totally stop them right there. And say, and I have this big red imaginary stop sign that I put in front of people. Stop. Whatever words come from your mouth, God gave us this beautiful brain that was taught to take those thoughts and manifest them on earth. That's your gift. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeding, is going to be what you create. So when somebody says that, right off, I stop. Every single human being has intuition. You were never given the education that, or even the knowledge that it existed, but know that it does exist. So when you speak, oh, it's always been this, it's always been that, that is what you will get. Whatever you want, God said, I love you guys. I'm making you go to, you're deciding to go to Earth. I will create the world that you want. And so every single thought that goes through our minds is processed through this energy field to create this beautiful world. So if you deny yourself peace and love and the ability to be intuitive and to tune into what's really going on, then you will be denying it, because whatever you forth comes back 100-fold. So I would stop them totally, and I'd start with the language, because no matter where we were programmed and how we were programmed, the beginning to healing and hearing the messages and knowing who you are is to stop. Stop in your tracks, and before you utter another word, what is it that you would like to have? So if somebody's, well, it's always been, well, change the verbiage to, it used to be that, but now I know and I'm developing the ability to be more intuitive. I am giving myself permission to receive only loving, compassionate, light energy from the universe to bring to me, so I can have the peace, so I can manifest that which I desire. And the first step, no matter what modality you're talking about, is to bring the person back to being the beautiful light being that they are, and stop beating on themselves, because we are so programmed to beat on ourselves, to have judgment, to criticize, to put people in little boxes and oh, I'm so sorry. I did not stop.
No worries. That's beautiful. I like that. Send that ringtone to me.
my celestial messages. I'm sorry for that. But it's beautiful because you need to allow yourself to say, okay, this is where I'm at, this is what's going on, and finally get to the point to say, I am tired of this, I want no more of this, I want help, I want to get out of this, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever it is, stop. and then just tell the world, okay, it's changing as of now. And it has to start with you. So no matter where you go, it's like if you go to a doctor and you say, my leg hurts every time I do this. And the doctor says, don't do that. So and then you go out and you do it again. You're going to get hurt again. So people have this beautiful thought that, okay, I'm going to go to a healer and they're going to heal me. And I'm going to go and I'm totally healed. Well, if that's your belief system, that's true. But if your belief system is still holding the story that, oh, I'm always going to lose or I'm never going to have that, whatever it is that was healed is going to come back. So I go to the root. When I see someone for healing, I see them one time and one time only. And that one time is in that moment in time, whatever their issue is, we are going to fix it, period. It's not going to come back. I'm not going to let them go until it's done. And in order to do that, you can use any healing modality, but the biggest healing modality known to man is your self-talk and teaching people to eliminate that persecution they have, that judgment they have against themselves, and to finally become peaceful enough to look in the mirror and say, I love myself no matter the good, no matter the bad, no matter what, I know I'm a good person. And what's so beautiful is that every single soul that comes to this earth wants to do the best they can and learn the most they can about emotions and feelings and whatever to bring back to the whole all these gifts, all these lessons we've learned. And when we lose sight of how beautiful we are, we criticize ourselves. And we batter ourselves and we say we can't. And we say no. And we say, well, they told me this and they told me that. And it's really untangling that belief system. Oh, well, everybody's this way. Well, where is it written? I don't know. My mom and dad told me. Okay, well, mom and dad, when was the first time you heard that? Well, they were arguing about, oh, they were arguing about something, huh? So they were having a conflict and you heard them say, shut up. And you got the feeling that I'm not supposed to talk. I have to not talk. I have to stop myself from talking. And then you go back to, well, that was ridiculous. I was only 2 years old. I didn't know any better. But now I'm 21 or 31. And I could go back and say, well, when is the first time I heard that thought? And oh, wow, yeah, they were fighting all the time. And then I felt like I was in the middle and I felt this and I felt that. I said, but you weren't, were you? And that's where they, one of the healing modalities is when you look at yourself as a child and you hold yourself and you hug yourself and you forgive yourself. And it sounds kind of corny, but it's probably the best gift that you give to yourself is to all the things that have hurt you, to go back in time, go there and say, as an adult, reviewing what happened in the past, does that make any sense to have that belief system? And it changes. And in the blink of an eye, with your realization that it's not your belief, it's something you were programmed with, you take out the CD that programmed you, you break it up, and you start programming yourself. And the more positive you program yourself with, the more positive your life becomes. But what's really cool is that I was also given the gift of being human. So I was in a wheelchair for 7 years. I've been told I was going to die many times. And I just couldn't believe the doctors. They believed in what they were saying, but they learned from books. And they knew the knowledge they accumulated. But no matter what you learn in a book, nothing compares to the intuitive nature and feeling that comes over you that tells you that's not right. Mm. That is wrong. And when you start stopping and thinking about how you're thinking and where you're at, stop. where did that come from? That is not of you, because every single soul that comes to this earth is doing the best they can and wants the best and truly is based in love. And we might get channeled in different directions. And I use the word channel in a lot of ways. So you get channeled in different directions. And when you divert that channeling and you tune in a frequency from the vibes of the universe, from the internet of the universe, not the internet, and you tune into that, you get what you need, because God didn't put us down here without tools. He's given us everything we could possibly need. But in order to tap into that, we have to stop. Why is not the question. How can I change is the question. And that's what I can see and feel innately in each human being. And I can say, I'm where you are. Because I am. I went through those emotions. I went through those roads. I've been through the anguish and the frustration and the pain. But I found the way out. And that's where my gift is not only did I learn it for myself, but I've been where everybody else has been. And I can feel that energy immediately and know how to very softly bring that person out of that cave and into the light. And that is a beautiful gift that I enjoy giving to everyone and anyone who needs it. And it is physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional, because it's all tied in together. That's who we are. We can't divide ourselves and say, well, I'm only a physical being. No, you're spiritual, emotional, and you have this intuitive side that can help you. But like everything else, we have to learn that it's there. We have to learn how to identify it. We have to learn to stop and listen to it. And we also always have to say, only the energy of love, compassionate for my highest good will I ever allow to touch me. And when you start to do that kind of like a mantra, you start finding things are falling off by themselves. Old friends that were really not being beneficial to your growth will disappear. The job you hated, well, all of a sudden you're going to get fired. And you're going to feel devastated, but right around the corner is the job of your dreams.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you know? What have you heard?
It's, you know, what's beautiful is that after a while, you know, when you fall down, when you're 2 years old and you're crawling around and then you try to stand and you keep falling down. And then when you finally get to walk, then you start running and then you fall down. But the falling down is just as beautiful as the getting up, because when you're falling down, you learned, okay, I better not walk sideways when I want to go straight. So it gives you direction. So when you fall down or you feel like your life is crumbling around you or you're most emotionally down in the pits, give gratitude. Thank you, God, because it's only going to get better from here. I learned my lesson. There's no way up. There's no other place to go but up. Never. It's always going up.
Yeah.
And it might not seem like it then. And that's what's really cool, because when people come to me and they're in this cloud of emotion, I can feel the cloud and sense the cloud. And before they leave, that cloud's going to be gone, totally gone, because we're going to analyze the cloud to death and we're going to kill that cloud. And we're going to let the cloud go away and let that freedom, that peace, that love, the joy come back. And that's your strength. That's your true strength. And when you're trying to find strength in buying things, you're not going to get there. You're going to get weaker. If you're finding strength in what other people are doing, you're not going to get anywhere with that. You have these beautiful gifts, and if you bring those gifts to the world, that's when you prosper. That's when you finally realize why you're here. And a lot of people also feel that sense and know that feeling and know what they like to do. But, oh, no, I got to do this for money. I mean, I was in accounting all my life because I had to do something to bring in the money. So there's that fine line you walk. But as long as you're walking it with the knowledge that I'm a beautiful spirit and I'm doing my best, and I want only love in my world, that even the job you don't like will kind of become more peaceful. All of a sudden, the people won't seem so mean. You won't feel like you're being attacked as much. So it really does start with taking responsibility for yourself. And being the first step for any healing is to be responsible for your world. You are creating it. So I always say, okay, you just said, well, this has always happened, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. Yeah, and as long as you keep on keeping that belief, it will keep on happening. Isn't that beautiful? You're creating what you want, and you keep on saying to God that's what you want, and he keeps on giving it to you, and you get mad about it. So it's like, okay, calm down, stop. What do you really want? Are you ready to heal? Are you too secure in that little bubble? Are you too secure in that bad emotion? Does it bring you too much attention and you love the attention, so you like staying there because of the attention, but you don't like staying there because it hurts? And those are the dilemmas that you come up with that I can easily feel and say, okay, let's go. Let's fix that. And that's it. It's so, the universe is so simple and so pure, and we in our minds complicate it. We complicate everything.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because there are those who do believe that there is an instruction manual, and they will tell you that instruction manual's name. They'll give, you know, they'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
And they'll spell out that these are all the instructions that we need to live life.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that raises a jillion questions in my mind that I want to ask, but I know that when I do start asking those questions, I know what answers I'm going to get that don't serve me because I'm not there anymore. However, I don't want to undermine them and their beliefs and what they hold in a place of security for themselves that gives them, you know, supposedly that peace of mind that they have. And at the same time, it's like, okay, so how do I get across to them that there's something more than just that? And the best way I can describe that is a conversation that I had with my eldest sister, and it was a mistake to have it when I had it. It was in the kitchen on Thanksgiving morning. Mother was cooking the turkey and all of the fixings. And, of course, my sister and I decided to have a conversation about philosophies. Religions, spirituality, what have you. And she was, I was born and raised Catholic, as was she, but she, as she got older, decided, and when she married her husband at the time, they were in what I consider to be a rather very box-like philosophy, which, you know, if that serves her, then more power to her. But at the time of this conversation, we were talking, and she says, I'm very concerned about your, you know, your spirituality and your, you know, your beliefs and so forth. And I said, the only response that I could think of that came to mind, maybe it was my intuition that said it, my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today, are not my beliefs of tomorrow, because I am still alive. I am still experiencing things. And, you know, and, so that's kind of, you know, where I'm at. And I always found it fascinating whenever I want to say defend myself to others or justify my position, which we really don't have to do that. I know that. But nonetheless, you're in this conversation and maybe in the heat of the moment. My justifications, my logic was never sufficient. My logic was flawed or you're making no sense. And of course I'm sitting here thinking in my head, yeah, well, if I carry your philosophy and your thinking process based upon what you believe to its logical conclusion, it doesn't make any sense to my brain. So I just, and we left it at that. And we've always had, I have to say too, and I've said this on the program many times, didn't grow up in necessarily a Norman Rockwell kind of household, but we did not have the dysfunctional dinner table antics that you see in movies and television. It just didn't exist. We talk to each other. And we try to communicate. We may not always agree, but at least, and as I'm sitting here in this day and age, here we are in the second decade of the 21st century thinking, what the heck happened? We don't have that anymore amongst ourselves as citizens in our social settings, in our families. We've got families that nowadays they're split right down the middle due to whatever issues that happen to come up, more so than I can recall, in at least in my lifetime. Maybe it happened before I was ever born too, but and my intuition tells me I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to create more drama. I'm tired of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Suggestions on your part can we call upon it? In other words, I know that it's always there. I mean, I used to bicycle everywhere, and I would bicycle, and I'd get this prompting to turn left or turn right or, you know, make whatever, and I would usually follow those. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't asking for guidance. You know, I don't know why you're telling me to turn here, because I didn't ask you for directions. You're not my GPS, you know, on my phone. But sometimes we need that internal GPS, so to speak. Do we just say, hey, I use the term my friend. That's, mm-hmm. that's how I refer to my intuition, as my friend. My friend, I need some help here. I need some guidance. Can you not necessarily give me a sign, although that would be fine too, however you want to do it. Guide me. Give me some direction, et cetera, et cetera. Can we do that? When we're talking about the non-tangible world, just the spiritual, but like in relationships, in our job situation, and so forth and so on. Do we just call out and say, hey, I need help, I need guidance?
On the drop of a dime, all you have to do is ask. It's as simple as that. And when you were talking about your family and discussions about politics or whatever discussion everyone is having, everyone chose to come to this world and play in a play and take a part so they could learn and feel an experience they never had before, so they could become more whole. And so everyone, and that's why everybody says, well, they were there in their own little world. Well, we created our own little worlds. That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone needs to, in their own time, in their own way, find their way back to remembering who they are. And you have to remember you are a loving soul first. That's who you are. And being a loving soul, when you see, I mean, the biggest pain or hurt that you could have is seeing the beauty in someone and them not seeing the beauty in themselves. That's the biggest pain I've ever experienced in my life. That the person you're trying to heal doesn't even know or see the beauty that you know they are. So we have to allow for that, though. Because if we're truly loving and compassionate, we understand that everybody is learning at their own level. There's a billion religions and ways of thinking, because everyone needs different words to get them along their journey, and just simply send love. I hear you. I understand you. I can see that that's the way you think and feel. God bless you.
Mm.
End of the story.
Yeah.
And what happens is we're so programmed that to be a loving, compassionate person, you have to be helping others. Stop. Stop. To be a loving, compassionate person, you have to be loving and compassionate for yourself. So you could learn the beauty and the gifts that you have to give to the world. We are not here to change everybody. And everybody feels they need to change the person they're talking to. And that's why there's arguments and there's repercussions of this. I mean, in the news, they're arguing about a sentence that it was taken out of context 30 years ago. And they're arguing for 3 months on the television over something that never was valid. Mm-hmm. The only valid that we have is ourselves. And when we learn to love ourselves and get rid of all the garbage that we programmed ourselves with, then you can look at anything. You could have a fire going on in one spot, a volcano erupting, an earthquake on the other side, and you could stay at peace knowing, okay, but for the fire, there's going to be water, and they need to learn that they have to be vigilant about that. And then the volcano is erupting. Well, don't make your house on the bottom of a hill that becomes a volcano that you know is going to erupt. I mean, there's lessons we need to learn. Mm. And no matter how we decide to learn them and we create this reality for ourselves to learn those lessons, let it be. Our responsibility is for ourselves. And then when we fix ourselves and we're so full of love and compassion and the knowing of who we are, then with the overflow of that love and compassion, you heal others.
Eva Marie Carabello is my guest here on the program. We're talking about intuition, and we're going to dive into some other areas as well as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Would you please stay tuned?
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. We're here with Eva Marie Carabello, and we're talking about intuition. We're talking about a lot of the things that she is involved in terms of helping you. You said earlier that you only see someone once. Now, when you say that, are you referring to the one time you see them for that specific issue and
yes,
you resolve that? You'll see them again and again for other issues, but only once for each individual issue, which is interesting because the medical profession, they want to see you over and over and over and again for the same thing. And I have to say, too, that when I was working for the Christian station and they would do these this call-in prayer programs, I was there for 15 years. I kept hearing the same voices on the phone over and over again asking for prayer for healing for the same condition over and over and over again. It didn't take me long to figure out they didn't have a problem. They didn't need a healing. What they needed was that connection with people. That's what they were really... Now, I'm not saying that they didn't have the condition they were calling about, but they weren't... They were less interested in getting healed and more interested in the community.
Yes. And you really need to take care of yourself. If I listened to every doctor that told me I was going to die or I was never going to walk, I would still not be walking. And I'm running around now and enjoying and dancing on the earth just like God wants me to.
Well, you need to slow down. No, that's fantastic. I have to tell you, it really is.
Yeah. It's, we go to a doctor and he has certain valuable information and knowledge that brings him to the closest conclusion he could come to that it might be. But if you don't take ownership of an illness and you say, no, the illness is not me, you can fight it. And people don't like to hear that because I'm telling them, you're responsible for your health. Be responsible for your life. And we have never been taught how to do that. How are we responsible? How do we become responsible for loving ourselves? What do you mean loving yourself? Well, this, and that. Well, talk to me. I'll get you there. And it's hard to walk that line of knowledge given from a book and knowledge that's given to you from the truth within your heart. And when a doctor tells you something and your heart is saying something else, go to another doctor. Go to another doctor. I am not exaggerating when I could say I've had more than 40 surgeries in my life. And most of them were because the insurance company was afraid if they didn't do it, they'd get sued. So there's a lot of things that we've created as a human race that limit us. And once we understand how it's limiting us and find that energy within us, which is love. I know it sounds so corny and people say, she, you know, it's just, what do you mean, love, love? If you don't know what I mean, call me. Because if you don't know what love feels like and loving yourself, then I am the person you call. I am the person you call after all the doctors and everything else hasn't worked. You call me. Because I don't limit the information coming into me. I do not limit or judge the person with me or giving me the information. Because I only channel loving, compassionate energy. And so, you know, people say, well, how do you know? Well, somebody said it was evil energy or it was this or that. If it feels good, it's coming from love.
Yeah.
If it feels edgy, let it go.
Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you know, we heard that phrase especially and most specifically in the 60s and early 70s, if it feels good, do it. But that's the whole different, that's a whole different thing.
Yes, it's a whole different, that feel good, there's a feel good in the moment for the ego, for the ego, for the ego, for the ego, or that feels good for me. I feel good about that.
Yeah. On the inside.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to, it. What's beautiful about universal laws, a universal law is that which you can say that no one can argue about. There's no argument. There's a sun, there's a moon, there's a globe, there's energy, there's frequencies, there's vibrations. Science has finally caught up with spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And science, I was so excited 12 years ago when I first heard Hawking prove something I always felt and believed scientifically. He said, thank you, God. The world is going to see how science and spirituality are the same.
Yeah.
We can prove spirituality. We can prove the energy of love. We can prove that, and anybody could look up any of these things and see all the scientific explanations as to why it works. And the energy of love can change the frequency of everything, period. No argument. If you want to argue it, look it up. And you'll see so much science that proves this. And a lot of people need that proof logically because we're so conditioned to put our head and our thoughts first, but we never learned how to use it. And so it's like giving the crazy people all the energy you can give them without telling them, well, how do I use this energy for what I really want? You know? So, and that's what we're not able to communicate to a large populace through media because media just feeds on negativity. And who listens to a positive news? Well, every so often, you know, you hear something new and good. Oh, that's wonderful to hear that. But that's going on all the time. I've seen so many miracles in my life. I'm a miracle just to be here today. And it's there. And all it is ask.
The one guy I'm thinking of who really epitomizes bringing science and spirituality together, and especially talking about energy, is Masaru Emoto, who did the experiment with water crystals. And infusing them, so to speak, with different stimuli.
Let me give you one more step on that.
Sure.
He infused them with different stimuli, but the catalyst to what he was doing was the love that was coming from him to put that into the water and to see the properties and the characteristics.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. It's kind of like when I was first learning the pendulum. And you ask a question, yes is this way, no is this way. When you're truly in control with yourself, you could tell the pendulum to give me a yes or a no or a maybe. That's the difference. The difference is you could let the world tell you what to do, or you could tell the world what you want. You have to ask. And it is given.
Yeah. It is really an interesting experience to be amongst all of these different energies. I mean, I haven't traveled the world necessarily, but I've traveled maybe the emotional, energetic world in the places that I've been in Arizona and Phoenix while I was there, and then of course here in Santa Barbara, and we've managed to go to some other places as well. In terms of the different people that we've come across, there are certain groups of people I want to have nothing to do with because I already know where that energy is coming from. I've worked for both conservative and liberal radio stations, and I want nothing to do with either of those sides from the standpoint that I do not want to surround. As a matter of fact, when I was working for the station Air America Phoenix up until 2006, I just could not bring myself to embrace the cause that the other employees were all fired up about because they wanted to make sure that all of the stuff that that guy was doing out there in the East, you know, on the East Coast, we need to expose all that and da da da. And it's like, no. I want to produce commercials and programs and work with our clients and different people to come up with some new sounding stuff that, yes, it was all part of, quote unquote, the cause. But my heart wasn't in the cause. It was in the production. That's what I loved doing. And I know that there are other people, too. And I felt the same way when I was working for the Christian station. I didn't care about the cause. It was irrelevant to me because I was more interested in, because this was early in my career, learning the things that I needed to put into my toolbox.
Yes.
To be able to do the things that I wanted to do. And it's like, and of course, everybody's trying to pull you in. Everybody's trying to get you to be a part. And I keep hearing, especially now, everybody say, oh, man, you got to make sure you get out and vote. And I had an interesting conversation. This is not a political thing here. But I was talking with one of the very conservative programmers on the station, off air, out in the lobby. And I said, I got two observations for you, because, you know, this particular individual is just railing on the other side and basically labeled the other side as having a mental problem. OK, wrote a book about it, too, that they had a mental problem. And I said, first of all, don't you think that you owe the other side a big debt of gratitude? Because if they weren't there, you'd have nothing to talk about. Okay? And second of all, don't you think that a lot of what you're complaining about that they have done is your responsibility too? Because on election day, you didn't get enough people out to vote in the people you wanted in, to avoid the problems you say that we have today. So it's not really their fault.
Yes.
You're as equally responsible.
Exactly.
And of course, again, it goes back to, oh, you know, well, I don't know. I think your logic is flawed and da 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 da. And I'm just like, okay, fine. Whether it fell on deaf ears or not. And then on his passing, when this gentleman eventually passed away a couple of years ago, and I said this to the general manager, I says, well, I know what he believed while he was here, but now he knows the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, everybody's entitled to their beliefs, but at the same time, I don't know about you, Eva, I struggle with, all right, that may be true, but what are those beliefs based upon? What a level of logic? And again, we can't force people to change their minds. I get that.
Right.
But how do you address this particular dynamic of, I want to help people to understand that there's more than one way to God, just as there is more than one way to satiate your taste buds and your thirst and your educational desires and your occupational vocational desires, your relationship desires.
The first thing beyond everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Is like a child will learn from what they see, not what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be the example of who you profess they should be.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. Because I look at it as you can't see the light unless you see the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see dark, I could put a little seed of light into their thought process. They might not react to it right away, but it will grow, and it will grow in their time for their greatest good. I do not want to disable any other person from their quest to learn what they need to learn and feel what they need to feel and grow.
Mm-hmm.
So let them be. Send them with love. Send them with a prayer. Send them with a hug. I never pass a person without giving a smile, or a total stranger, and you could see from the body language, I go up and I hug them. Leave a seed, a hug, a touch, a compassionate word. A non-judgmental word. I see where you are. I feel where you are. God bless you.
Mm. There is one man that I had, past tense, real problems with 2 years ago for 6 months. And everybody knows who it is.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't.
Well... He's in the news.
It's okay.
Every day. Anyway. And he's entitled to his beliefs and his opinions. But I got to the point where I was just emoting about, it's like, I can't believe that. And of course, a lot of other folks were too. And it took me 6 months to get to the point where, and actually just recently, and actually during one of these interviews, I was actually able to say, even though initially it stuck in my throat, it's like, ow, yes. I can't utter those words. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
I forgive you for eliciting in me the reactions that I have had, and I forgive myself.
Perfect.
The first part was the hardest.
It's hardest, but you know, the most important part is the second part.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we could forgive ourselves for those trespasses we felt we did, we're not trespasses at all. We are doing the best we can with the information and the knowledge we have in this very moment. And in the next second, in the blink of an eye, all of that could change
mm-hmm.
with another bit of information or another feeling or another concept that becomes true to you.
Yeah.
So that's what's so beautiful about this, is if you let everybody grow at their own speed. But the other part of this is giving gratitude, which this is really, you know, when people say, this guy killed my mom and I forgave him, and they make a big deal out of, oh my God, I could never do that. But we can all do that.
Mm.
We can all get to the point where we forgive what we consider a trespass against us. Now, we never knew, and this is what's really cool, we never knew that if these two souls came in, they were loving beings in different lifetimes and whatever, if you have that belief system, and they had all these interactions and they loved each other so much, and the one person says to the other, but I don't know what it feels like to hate somebody so much that you want to kill them.
Mm.
And it's a feeling they never had, so they never had the experience. So I don't know if I want to experience something like that. And then the other loving soul says, well, why don't we work out a play that you experience that? So then you know what it feels like, so then you can help people that feel like that get out of it. So you never know the core issue, the core reason why people are doing what they're doing. That's why we cannot set judgment. We don't know what beautiful things they're making come from their seed. And it might be an ugly seed, but it might grow the most beautiful tree ever created. So we have to allow for some darkness to see how bright we are. And the darker things are, the more brightness we have to bring to that. And if we're not loving ourselves, we can't bring light to that darkness.
And here's an interesting paradox that I've heard you talk about, especially when it comes to the darkness, which usually refers to emotion, that just as the darkness is not permanent,
yes,
neither is the light. That
yes,
there is that ebb and flow. I mean, if you think about it from the standpoint of the earth spinning around the sun, the moon spinning around the earth, and we have full moon and new moon every 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
We have night and we have day, but neither of them is permanent. Although there would be those who live up on the North Pole who would say, well, I don't know. It's pretty darn permanent up here. It seems like it.
But they love it and they have joy in it.
Yes.
And so neither one of them are good or bad. And the basic principle that we have to let go of is that something has to be good or something has to be bad. And that is so false.
Mm.
That is such a false belief system. Because what's good for one person could be bad for somebody else. So we can't say that's good and that's bad. No. I ended up in a wheelchair. Why? Because I was such an A personality and going, I was losing sight of where I wanted to go. And so it was a gift to me to not be able to use my legs to run around and sit in a chair and see and feel and say, yeah, I really wasn't having fun doing that anyway. You know, like it's crazy because what we think is so beneficial and running towards and trying to create and whatever is an illusion.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's when you find out the things that you've felt and you forgive others and you forgive yourself for thinking like that and you forgive yourself for looking at people with judgment and you forgive yourself for thinking that was bad because in some light it is good.
Hmm. Talk to us a little bit about, I want you to respond to this. I asked a guest once about our evolution as human beings, as a species, but also as beings. I says, do you see our evolutionary process as that where at one point somewhere along the way here, and hopefully not in the not too distant future, we will finally know who we are? And they said, no.
Oh, God.
They said, what we will eventually evolve to and understand is who we have always been.
Exactly. The whole process that we're going through is to have lessons, to learn different emotions and feelings and how to get in and out of them, to come back to the whole, to come back to our whole entire being and remember who we are. And again, we are these beautiful light beings, and we are so loving and compassionate that we allowed ourselves to come to Earth with these illusions so we could learn what's on the other side. What is on the other side of this darkness? It's this light. What portion of gray do we want? What portion of light do we want?
Mm.
How do we instill that in ourselves? How do we get back to being the beautiful souls that we are? And that goes back to the biggest pain ever created for man was to see someone else as they truly are, this beautiful, loving, beautiful being. And they cannot see it for themselves.
I've often thought of the golden rule do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I've modified it.
Modify that one.
Well, I modified it this way. Do unto others as if you were the others. There's a problem with that. There's a flaw in that. And the flaw is... it was brought to my attention during another interview. The flaw is that a lot of people, they don't do to themselves well. They don't love themselves. They don't care enough about themselves. So if you loved others as you love yourself, you're in trouble.
Yep. Exactly. And you have to remember how, when you could get, I keep saying this, when I could get a person to look in the mirror and say, I love you, to themselves, they do not need to be healed from anything else. Because now they could overflow with the beauty of who they are and help others.
Mm. Incredible. It's good stuff, and you're right there in the heart of the heat, at least as far as the weather's concerned. I happen to be right in the heart of the heat as far as wildfires are concerned. I'm not thrilled about that, but when you were commenting earlier in the program about all of that, I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. some would say, well, you should have stayed in Arizona because at least the heat goes away for a few months out of the year, whereas where you are now, you've got, the wildfire season is literally 365 days a year now. Mm-hmm. And it is unfortunate that is the case. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so where do you escape to? But no matter where you live, you've got to deal with
you.
We've got to deal with you. That's true. But you also have to deal with whatever is going on in that particular region of the world. If it's not here in California in the wildfires, you move further north into Oregon, Washington, or even Alaska. They still have them up there. I mean, you also have to deal with snow in certain parts of the world. And of course, I moved here, and a lot of people said, why are you moving to earthquake country? That makes no sense to us. You should stay here where at least all you have to deal with is the heat.
Okay, and I'm gonna change your paradigm in this instance.
Please.
You never have to deal with anything. You just need to experience it with love. And if you're experiencing it with love, whether it's a fire or a thunderstorm or whatever it is, you'll be at peace. So you don't feel like people are always feeling they're fighting against something or fighting to something or for something. There's no fighting involved.
I was going to say, you're reinforcing a principle, I call it a universal law still.
Yes.
That words have power.
Oh, yes.
So select your words carefully. Mm-hmm. And again, not to get political, because this happens on all sides, not just both sides, but all sides. People will say stuff during a campaign that they would never say otherwise. And I sat there during one cycle 15 or 20 years ago saying, wait a minute, this guy just said da da da. Oh, come on, Richard, don't take it so seriously. It's just politics. I says, no, it's not. Words have power. And his intent when using those words or hers is to get elected to that particular office so they have this particular power, right? I mean, that's really what it's all about. And so if that's his or her intent, then those words they used, they intended to use them. Words have power. And once they're out there with that intent, you can't really take them back. So be careful what you say, right?
Well, not only that, is when you're being ego-driven, the words are to protect the ego, to protect the belief system of that person. But when you do things from your heart, you don't have to protect yourself. So the people who argue the loudest and complain the most and pigeonhole people into categories and say everybody here or everybody there or Democrats or Republicans, no, everybody is an individual, and they have some thoughts one way, some mm-hmm. thoughts the other, and sooner or later they'll come to a belief system that works for them in this lifetime. And so I don't listen to the news because I don't.
Good for you. Good for you.
I do not give energy to negativity.
Yeah.
When I hear something positive, I'll give it all the energy I have because we have this great energetic, we are an electric body. We're vibrational.
Mm-hmm.
And when we vibrate a beautiful, peaceful, loving vibration, everyone gets affected. We're all pebbles in the water. And so if somebody wants to put a pebble in that's negative, I'm not going near that water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a countermeasure. So I always do a countermeasure. So if somebody's saying something negative for ego's sake, and it sounds like it's going to hurt people and it's going to help others, it depends on your viewpoint, I just send them love. I said, I am sending you the most powerful love I have, so you can have that little grain, the seed of light within you, to change, to see what you're doing, to see what you're creating, and start creating from your heart. That's the only energy I send towards any of that.
I know they say that it would never sell. There was no money in it whatsoever. But I tell you, we could use right now a news network that focused on nothing but the good stories. Two in particular that jumped to mind. This little girl here in California, they followed her around as she is handing out breakfast burritos to the firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's not more than 3-4 years old. And there's this little kid, I think it's Cleveland, Ohio. He puts on a cape, becomes a superhero, and he and his dad, they go around handing out sandwiches to the homeless. Now, those are the kinds of stories I want to see. Brings a tear to my eye when I see them. It moves me, and I'm as opposed to all this other negative stuff, it's like, all right, I realize it wouldn't make a bunch of money, but it sure would be nice to see more of them. And there are some of the networks, and I do occasionally do catch the news on TV, some of the network newscasts, one of their last two stories now are those kinds of stories. And I'm glad that they're doing that because, man, after listening to a 20 to 25 minutes of the other stuff, you know, we need a shot in the arm, as it were. So I know there are people out there who've got the bucks that they would be able to do it and invest in something like that, because it would be wonderful to see, because it's happening. And that's what this program is about, is bringing people who are doing the things that they're doing, the work that you're doing, to make a difference in the world, to make this a better place, not just for a select few, not just for a couple of people, not just for yourself, but for everybody. Because when you do that, you benefit anyway.
Yeah.
So this
whatever,
is...
There was a saying, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me.
Yes.
And that just says it all.
Amen to that. Amen, sister. Eva Marie Carabello, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your insights and your story and the energy that you have. And we encourage people to go to your website. And your website is...
CarabelloConsortium.com. And Carabello is CARABALLO.
All right. We encourage people. We will be linked to your website, by the way. And people can go there. Your phone number's plastered all over the place.
Yeah, and I got fortune cookies on there.
Oh, I wanted to get into that as well, fortune cookies. There's a link on her page, folks, labeled fortune cookies. And you can go through and read them. They're wonderful little sayings and phrases and so forth, very positive affirmations, if you will. That's another phrase. But I love the fortune cookie aspect of it. I'm curious, have you gone to that step where you've actually had them printed and put into fortune cookies?
No, but I do tweet them out, and every time I create one, I try to put them out on the internet. But there's one that I'd like to share with everyone.
Please.
And it is my motto. Enjoy the abundance of every moment. And what comes with that is the belief system that there's abundance in every moment. So if you enjoy the abundance of every moment, and it's your mantra, you will find the joy and the beauty and the abundance of every single moment.
Fantastic. Well, first of all, I would like to invite you, should you like to travel across the desert to Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue the conversation.
I would love to someday, definitely.
And we do encourage our listeners to go to your website as well, and again, we'll be linked to it. And then I have three final questions for you as we wrap up the program, and my thanks to you for sharing with us so much time here on Tell Me Your Story. First question is, who is Eva Marie Carabello?
Eva Marie Carabello is a soul with a frequency of light that she's here to share with anyone and everyone to make their life a little more peaceful and loving.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Giving everyone at least a seed to grow on. Some form of hope, some refuge, some peace in their life. And that's what I'm here for. Whatever I can do, I'm there for them. All you got to do is call.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
What I'm doing now. I have lived a life to be where you guys are, to get out of where you guys are, and found the answer and the road to get out of all those things that we put ourselves into. And that's what I'm here for.
Well, Eva, thank you again for joining us here on the program.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.